online at edwardsautosales.net or visit us in Walhalla. Always save extra with no dealer or dock fee.
The flagship station for Clemson basketball. You're listening to The Roar.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Yesterday I saw Greg Wells from the Kiwi Financial Group, and things are going great for them and their business. And, you know, I talked to Greg a little bit about how, man, this uncertainty, the markets of just so much volatility and this up and down roller coaster ride so many people are on. Get in touch with Greg Wells. Someone sent us a text a while ago, John, that talks about Dave Ramsey, that said, when the tide goes out, we find out who's been skinny dipping. So don't do that. Find out about the best when it comes to financial planning, financial advising, any kind of estate planning, any kind of college planning, retirement planning. Get in touch with the professionals at the Kiwi Financial Group. Greg Wells does a great job. Your Social Security, and when you take it, it's such a complicated issue. Let Greg Wells, the Kiwi Financial Group, take care of you. 654-5043. To our guest lines now on a Legends Friday, and we are joined now by Hall of Fame coach Jack Leggett, who is going to be inducted in the Clemson Athletic Hall of Fame coming up this fall. Good morning, Coach Leggett. How are you doing this morning?
Good, Mickey. I'm doing fine. How are you?
We are fantastic. Thanks for taking time out to be with us this morning. We're having your entire class on for the upcoming Hall of Fame, and I asked some of these folks, what did it feel like to get the phone call? Coach, this is old hat to you. You're in the Western Carolina Athletic Hall of Fame, the Vermont Principals Association Hall of Fame, the American Baseball Coaches Association Hall of Fame, the Vermont Sports Hall of Fame, I think six Hall of Fames altogether, the Maine Athletic Hall of Fame. Does it get old hat when you get the phone call that you're going to another Hall of Fame?
No, not really. It's always exciting. It's always an honor, and this is absolutely an honor to. And it's just a show of appreciation and the hard work and the success we had with our coaches that came through with me and the players that we had, so I was very appreciative of it. I'm excited about it, and it's quite an honor for sure.
Bob Mahoney, who does a great job with the Letterman's Association here, I know is the one that made the phone call. And him being a baseball guy, being so close to you, what was that call like? I think he even shared with me that a little bit extra special for him too. But what was that phone call like? And it's not a shock that you got in, but you still, you know, the phone rings, and it's got to be a pretty cool, pretty neat experience, especially sharing that with Bob.
Well, it was a good phone call for sure, and it was one that, I hadn't been thinking about. I'd been moved on to things that I'd been doing and so forth. But I was excited about it when I got it. And I, like I say, appreciative of it. It's a family deal. By family, I mean my coaches that I had, my players that I had, and my family, my personal family. I sacrificed a lot. We did a lot of good things at Clemson. It's going to be tough to do again, and I'm very proud of how we ran our program, very proud of the kids that we had come through, and the coaches and the coaching tree and the fan support that we had and the excitement that we created over the years. So it was just a culmination of getting confirmation that was respected and that it was something that the university appreciated. And so I'm glad to represent my players, represent my family, represent my coaches, and those are the people that I think most about when something like this happens.
Yeah, 1,300 wins, 4 College World Series here, 2 ACC titles, 3 ACC Coach of the Years. I want to get into all of that. On these Legends Friday, Coach, we try to learn a little bit about and kind of introduce, parts of the personalities that we might not have known. I know a lot about it as a coach. I know a lot about it as a coach here at Clemson. Let's go back first, though, childhood. Growing up in New England, you're a multi-sport star. Tell me about the childhood and growing up and why baseball and football and how hard that was back then, the University of Maine. Kind of give us a background of the younger days and the foundation of building who you were.
Well, my father was a coach. He was a college coach, and we traveled all over the country. He started out as a high school coach in Maine, and then we moved out to Walla Walla, Washington, and he was an assistant football coach at Whitman College, and then he moved up as the head coach at Portland State College. And along the way, he coached a little bit of baseball. Then we moved back to, but it was mostly football-oriented, and we moved back to Adrian, Michigan, and he was the track coach, the wrestling coach, and also the football coach. And so he held a lot of hats, moved back to the University of Vermont, and was a football coach, an assistant football coach there. And so I was around the facilities. He had the keys to the trampoline, the gym, shooting hoops, the weight room, the track, the indoor track, swimming pool, you name it. We had the keys to it. And so we were had two brothers and a sister, and we just grew up around games and facilities, and had the keys to it all. And we were very active ourselves. We played football, you know, young soccer. We played basketball all every day in the driveway, 2-on-1 basketball, my two brothers, and football in the front yard. And I had a sister who was oriented that way too. My mother was a great fan of being around the athletics. And so I played football, basketball, and baseball in high school. Wanted to go to college, and we won a couple state championships in baseball and football, and two in football, two in baseball. In the last couple of years in high school, we had some good success. I think basketball might have been my best sport, one of my best sports. But I went on to play both two sports in college, went to the University of Maine, and just concentrated on playing football in the fall and baseball in the spring and baseball in the summer, and then coming back and, you know, just showing up after playing in Cape Cod League or summer baseball, and the car was still packed, and I run the 2-mile test in football and start triple sessions the next day. So I was always active, loved playing both, and, you know, we had success in both. I was able to captain both teams, and was successful. We had some successful moments, of course, and, you know, I just was around a lot of good teammates and a lot of good coaches along the way, and my high school coaches, my college coaches have taught me great lessons, and I always knew I wanted to coach. So when I got out of college in 1976 in December, I went back and played my fifth year of football because I had gotten an injury my sophomore year. And so when I got done playing in November, in December, in the semester ended in 1976, I went back, and I'd been told, you know, I was a defensive player and played every down on defense. I also kicked field goals, and so I had a good leg, and I had been told that I could kick in the NFL, so I was practicing doing that in the field house at the University of Vermont, and the athletic director, assistant athletic director Rick Farnham walked through the gate one day when I walked through the door of the indoor track, and I was kicking into the nets, and my leg was strong. I was ready to go off and give this an opportunity. He asked me if I wanted to coach the club baseball team for $600, and so I thought about it for a day. They said they were going to turn to varsity status in the summer, and if I did a good job, maybe I'd be a 23-year-old Division I head baseball coach. And so I took that chance. I coached that team, and they turned it to varsity status, and they hired me for $4,900, and I had to pay for my master's out of that. I had no assistant coaches and no scholarships, and we just developed a program that in 5 years' time, we were in the New England Championship game the last 2 years against the University of Maine. And you know, from that point on, I applied for a job at Western Carolina and got that job. So that's how it all started. I just took a chance on it. They took a chance on me at a young age, and I started coaching Division I baseball at 23 years old.
It worked out. There's no doubt about that. It worked out leading to all these Hall of Fames. Hey, your dad, personality-wise, coaching-wise, were y'all similar? Did you model yours after him? Did you learn what to do or maybe what not to do as far as coaching style-wise?
He was a very good coach. He actually, when they dropped football at the University of Vermont, he became a swimming coach, which he had no experience, but he learned how to do it and became a swimming coach at the University of Vermont for 21 years. Had some undefeated teams, had some great teams, went to almost all the swim meets at home, and was around the pool all the time. And so I watched him evolve from a football coach into a swimming coach, and just the way he handled people. He also taught in the physical education department at the University of Vermont, kinesiology, physiology of exercise, and that type of thing. And that was an interest of mine at the University of Maine. I was a physical education major with a history minor. So I had that interest all along, and I paid attention. I watched. His personality probably a little less, a little more laid back than me, maybe, but at the same time was very effective in his coaching and how he related to his players. And, I watched him and had a great deal of respect for how he went about his business and how people related to him and the smile on his face. And he just had a lot of everybody liked being around him. So I like to think that I drew a lot from him. And the coaches, the other coaches that I came involved in high school and in college, I watched everything they did. I watched their personalities, and in the end, you just have to be who you are. But I gathered a lot of information along the way and utilized it, I think, pretty well as a young age.
Jack Leggett, our guest, going to a 7th Hall of Fame this fall. Coach, when you're, I know it's different 1970s compared to what you coached later in your career, but you had, I know, Kyle Parker, among others, 2-sport athletes. What did you learn as a player? Maybe time management. Maybe how did it help you in coaching? Maybe a 2-sport athlete, maybe at Western or maybe at Clemson later on.
Well, a couple of things I think really helped me earlier. One of them was being a 2-sport athlete. Was pretty good at both of them or successful at both, started at both. I didn't have to go to fall baseball, and they didn't make me go to spring football because I was involved in sports at that time. And then I would go off in the summer, and I would train for football, but I also was playing in, summer leagues like in Portland, Maine, and then next in 1975 played in the Cape Cod League up in Massachusetts, which is a good baseball league. And so I was able to stay active, and I had the support of my 2 college coaches in football and baseball at the University of Maine. So I learned something good there. The other thing I learned good when I was a young coach at 23 years old, we had limited time. I had limited help. I had, was dealing with the kids that really, really were in the program that graduated from club baseball right into the Division I baseball and then was able to recruit some. But we had a limited time frame and limited space. I was having practice in a 1/10 of a mile track, dirt surface, that the track team had just come out and threw the shot put in, and so it was a little bit bumpy at times and tough for ground balls. But we learned how to run an efficient practice in a 1/10 of a mile track area, and you only had an hour and a half because lacrosse, if you had practice from 7:30 to 9, lacrosse was coming in at 9 o'clock, and they wanted their hour and a half. They didn't want to come at 9:01 or 9:02. So you got what you had to get done in an hour and a half period, in a short period of time, in a short area with limited help. And I think it helped me be organized, understand the fundamentals, delegate responsibility with my players, because they had to, I had to use them as leaders within that 1/10 of a mile area. And so I think that was all valuable. And growing up in that environment where I was indoors playing at the University of Maine, playing indoor baseball and practicing indoor baseball so we went outside, I think, taking all those things helped me become a better coach and had a really good handle, I thought, on the fundamentals early and how to utilize your time and how to run efficient practices. So it was good learning experience.
It worked at Vermont, no doubt about that. You make the move down to Cullowhee in 1983. You're there 9 years in a beautiful place, and you build a great baseball program with the Catamounts. What are your memories of what had to be some special years there in the mountains of North Carolina?
Well, first, the guys that laid the foundation for all of this were my players at the University of Vermont. They are now, a lot of them, high 50s, early 60s, because I was coaching them at the same time. And the same age that I was, pretty much. And so those guys were loyal, and they worked hard, and they believed. And, I got tired of the weather a little bit, so I applied for a job at Western Carolina, and 3 jobs. And that one, they invited me to come down to visit. I instantly liked it. I think we hit it off. The football coach was the athletic director, Bob Waters, and he like me, I think like my football background, that we weren't going to tangle and would be the third coach in the same year. One coach got fired, the next coach that got on as an interim coach for the season, and then they hired me. So I was the third guy. I was, from a different area of the country than these guys. And so there was a little learning that had to take place because we were going to do things a certain way. And before it's all over, we developed a program that won five championships from 85 to 89. Five in a row in the Southern Conference, which is hard to do. We're in the championship game 8 out of 9 years, and the guys are loyal. They believe their relationships we have with those guys that I spent 9 years with, and both my kids were born in Colby, North Carolina, and Silva. And so it's a great memory, great place. We developed something that was very special, and it was very tough for me to move on to Clemson. Coach Wilhelm had called me a couple of different times because I had worked his camps and we had competed against him and we had a good relationship. And I think he, had his eye on me. And so I turned him down a couple of different times to come over as an assistant coach because I'd always been a head coach. And the last time he called me, he says, I'm only going to coach a couple more years. And you come down and do a good job. I'd like to see you be the next head coach. And so he had a good thought process in his mind, wanted to leave the program in good hands, and he had a plan in mind. And so I came down as assistant coach for 2 years in 92 and 93, the spring of 92 and 93. And we had some good years and some good times and some good players. And coach, handed things off to me in 1990, summer of 93. And Bobby Robinson and Dwight Rainey were, great enough to give me an opportunity at that time and supportive. And I thank Coach Wilhelm, and Bobby Robinson and Dwight for believing in me and giving me that opportunity. And so that's where it started. And we had some really good years. Obviously we won 57 games the first year, and we went to Omaha the second and third year, and we went back to Omaha 2000, 2002, 2006, 2010. So we got back there six different times, and we made it to 9 super regionals, and we had some great moments. There's no question about it. And Terry Don was also another one I'd like to thank. He showed great confidence in me, and Billy D, who's going to the Hall of Fame with me at the same time, has always been a good friend and supporter, and always been there when I needed him. And so those guys were very supportive and appreciative of the job that we were doing. So I need to thank them and appreciate what they did to give me an opportunity at Clemson.
Well, I've never shared this with you, but my dad played for Coach Waters at Western Carolina. They had me when they were in college at a very early age. We lived in a little trailer up there in Cullowhee, and my dad, in 1989, it's one of the few times I've ever seen my dad cry when Bob Waters passed away. He loved that man, as so many others did, and he was just a special gentleman, no doubt about that. Kind of sad to see all that. Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Coach, can you hold through a break? Because I want to ask you about some Clemson days, some Clemson memories, also about USA Baseball, about the future of baseball, about your coaching tree. 12 different head coaches, I think is what it is. And ask you about where baseball's headed. So can you hold through a break?
Sure. Okay.
Awesome. Awesome. Jack Leggett is with us. It's Legends Friday. He's going to the Clemson Athletic Hall of Fame. It's his 7th Hall of Fame that he will be inducted into this fall. So we'll take a short break, come back, get in some more interesting topics with Jack Leggett right after this.
Hi, I'm Dabo Swinney. One of the things that makes me proudest about being the head coach at Clemson is participating in the most exciting 25 seconds of college football, running down the hill after rubbing Howard's Rock. The roar from the crowd is deafening. Even though Howard's Rock is one of Clemson's most prized possessions, most of the time it sits all alone. That's why we depend on Priority One Security's video surveillance to keep Howard's Rock safe and secure.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com.
Even in these challenging times, Parham Smith and Archinold, a medical malpractice law firm in Greenville, Spartanburg, and Charleston, is still accessible during regular business hours. Call and they can arrange video conferencing to assist with your medical malpractice concerns. The health and well-being of your family is paramount, and Parham Smith and Archinold is dedicated to ensuring you're taken care of. Parham Smith and Archinold, call 242-9008. Online at parhamlaw.com. That's parhamlaw.com.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is not only the home with a lifetime warranty, but the winner of the 2017 and 2018 Nissan Award of Excellence. Granger Nissan is here to serve the upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing with the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate. Granger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Granger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Let's face it. Face it, credit cards are pretty much a necessity.
New tires for the car? Here's my card.
I order takeout, use my card. And most of us just accept the high interest rates credit cards charge as a necessary evil.
What are you going to do?
Here's what you can do. Get a low fixed rate credit card consolidation loan from LightStream and pay off those credit card balances. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. The process is all online. You never have to leave the house. And you could get your money as soon as the day you apply. The average credit card company charges over 19% APR. But with LightStream, you can get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay.
Now I can pay off my high-interest credit cards and save money with a much lower rate. Thanks, LightStream.
Apply today at LightStream.com/discount and get an additional interest rate discount. That's LightStream.com/discount for an additional discount. LightStream.com/discount.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/discount for more information.
Pros, keep those exterior maintenance projects going strong. Count on Lowe's for the items and supplies you need to get the job done. And now, take advantage of Memorial Day bulk savings on products like OSB, fence pickets, shingles, and more. We buy in bulk and pass those savings on to you. Shop today at lowsforpros.com. And don't forget, we're open at 6 a.m. so you can get started early and make the most of your day. Together, we can keep your business moving. Price and selection vary by market, U.S. only.
We know sports. We are the Roar.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com. Mark Hawkins' team say, look, enjoy the weekend, enjoy your time, but you can also enjoy, I don't know, maybe a lake house, maybe renovating your current house, refinancing and having more money to enjoy more Memorial Days. Get in touch with them. These are good people. These are experts. They're setting records. PrimeLendingSC.com. Very talented mortgage people that did a great job. We've done two mortgages with them. We refinanced. It went awesome. We remodeled our home. It went awesome as well. So you can't beat that. It's our great friends at Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com. It's Legends Friday. Back with us now, Coach Leggett. Coach, thanks for hanging on with us through the break. I've got so many more. One of the things I always wanted to know was you're a head coach at 23, and you had two very successful baseball programs, but you leave to go be an assistant coach, knowing maybe, you know, coaching waiting kind of thing or knowing how it might go. How difficult was it being the head man to now going back and being an assistant coach?
Well, it was tough because I was always used to talking to the team in the dugout, talking to the team on the bus, before games, after games, making out the lineup, making up practice schedules, all that kind of thing. And so it was difficult, but at the same time, I think it was really a good plan by Bobby Robinson and Dwight and Coach Wilhelm, because it was a smooth transition. And so I went there as an assistant coach, and Coach was, you know, he was gave me a lot of responsibility. I did all the recruiting, Randy Mazey and Jim Schlossnagel, and I had some graduate assistants, but basically I was on the road a lot, did recruited kids like Ken Vining and Chris Benson and Billy Koch and Shane Monahan and all those kind of guys, and Matthew McCoy. And so I was able to do the recruiting, learn how the scholarship works, learn the pro college issue that you're going to be faced with all the time. And yet, then we get back to the office and you say, Jack, what are we doing for practice today? And so I'd make out the practice plan and read it in front of the team, and we'd go out and execute it. And, you know, he was, you know, still the head coach, but gave me a lot of responsibilities. And I think the players that were there who were going to, you know, who were finishing up their career at Clemson, but also the guys that were going to be still on the team after Coach retired, I think they got used to my system, had a lot of confidence in me. They still are very loyal. Andy Monin and all the guys that played at that time, Mike Eidenberg, that had a little bit of both of the regimes, I think, extremely loyal and have great memories of when we first started. So I think it was a really good transitional plan, and it helped me. I learned a lot, and I got my feet in a lot of different areas that were a little different than what was at Western Carolina. And so in terms of recruiting and the scholarship and the pro college issue and all that kind of thing. And so I think it was a really good transition and a smart way of doing things. And I think it worked out. I hope everybody thinks it worked out pretty good.
I think it did. 57 wins in year one, 4 College World Series, 2 ACC titles, 3 ACC Coach of the Years. It worked out. You know, Coach, they say that you don't want to follow the man. You want to be the man that follows the man. But you follow the man here. And not only that, is he still came to games, and he still, I guess, maybe came to practices. How was the relationship? Because he was, by the way, one of my favorite people on earth. But I tell people, his former players talk about it too, loved him, respected him, was scared to death of him at times. He was a different personality there too. How was it with having him around and following that kind of legend?
It worked out great, because I think he really was glad that I was coaching the team, so he felt good about coming to the games. I wanted to make him feel good. That was a, when you take over a program, in my opinion, you have no future if you don't know your history. And so I knew the history, I felt it, I'd worked in it, I respected the coach, Coach Wilhelm, and what he had done over many years. And I wanted him, you know, I made sure he came back and talked to the team. I made sure I wanted him to come to the games. I would, you know, I just wanted him to feel comfortable coming back and watching the games. And I'd see him at every game, and I'd meet him that he came to, and I'd meet him at the net, and he'd be there with Sarah Jane big smile on his face, and I think he was proud of how we were running the program. The kids, you know, still, he was a big believer in kids looking sharp, his uniforms being the same, and all that kind of thing. And so I think he was very proud of how it was going, and that we were winning a number of games and so forth. And so I think he felt really good about coming back and watching, because he believed in the program and believed in me, and we had a good relationship. And so I think that was something that I wanted as a head coach, is to take over, and I wanted to make sure all my players knew that, you know, what he had accomplished and what he meant to the program, and I wanted him to feel comfortable coming back, and I wanted the players to know him and so forth. So that was an important part for me, and I think that's why he felt comfortable coming to the games.
Speaking of that, being assisted, I want to ask you about your source of pride now with a coaching tree that includes, I think, 12 head coaches, that includes national championship winning coaches, guys winning at all kinds of levels. What does it say about you, or what kind of pride do you have when you look at the guys that you work with in your coaching tree?
Well, I really think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that, you know, you got guys like Tim Corbin out there doing his thing at Vanderbilt, and Kevin O'Sullivan down in Florida doing what he does so well, and they both have won national championships, and Eric Backage, you know, who was with me in 2002 for a year and doing his thing at Michigan. And then you have Tom Reginas doing a really good job over at Winthrop. Mike Hampton, new head coach at St. John's. I've got players at Georgia Southern, Rodney Hennon, who's doing a good job at Georgia Southern every year. And I know I'm missing some guys right now off the cuff, but there are so many assistants and head coaches out there of guys who have played, you know, in one of our programs, whether it be at Vermont, Western Carolina, or at Clemson. and or have been assistant coaches along the way and are out there coaching now. And so it's a, definitely a source of pride, and I think it's an indication that they learned something along the way and that they paid attention and they're involved in a good program. And the athletic directors or whoever hired them in the first place, you know, realized what their footprint was and where they came from and gave them an opportunity. And I think they, you know, they're passing on a lot of lessons they learned while they were coaching and playing. And that's certainly a source of pride to watch how successful they are and the jobs that they're doing.
Speaking of pride, USA Bay. I'm sorry.
I keep in touch with them. I think I'm on their, you know, speed dial. And whenever they have questions or problems, or they want to talk, or they're good things that happen, I mean, we're all in great communication all the time, and that's something that keeps me going. I'm excited to keep following them.
No doubt about that. Following USA Baseball now, tell us about this opportunity and how it came about and schedule-wise and your thoughts about USA Baseball.
Well, when this all ended at Clemson, I, you know, really wanted to stay involved in baseball because I, in my opinion, was just hitting my prime, just feeling good about what we're learning and what we were capable of doing. And so I wanted to stay involved in baseball. I love the sport. I love the fundamentals of it. I love the teaching part of it. And more than anything, I love the relationships with my players. And so I was missing that. I got an opportunity two or three different times while I was coaching at Clemson to get involved with USA Baseball, but I never did it because I was committed to 100% to what we needed to have done recruiting-wise, the value of our camps in terms of recruiting and teaching kids. And so I never wanted to take the time away from Clemson to do the USA Baseball. And so when I had more time, I got asked to do it again. I got involved in 2017, the Tournament of Stars, and working in the trials before these guys went off to the World Championships. And so I really enjoyed that. Met some great coaches and some of the best players in the country. 18 under, you're dealing with the best 20 players in the country. And so that was exciting. And they asked me to coach the team in 2018 and 2019. And, you know, I had missed it so much and missed being around it and decided to do it. And so we went and had the Tournament of Stars, narrowed our team down from 80 to 40 down to 20 in a series of different events. And then we took that team in not last November, November before to Panama to play in the Pan Am Games with 14 other teams throughout the world. And we won 9. We're 9-0. We won the gold medal, and you know our first five players in the batting order were first round picks. And that's the kind of athletes we're dealing with. The sixth hitter in our order was a third round pick and should have been a first rounder. And so we had a really good offensive team and a good set of coaches with me and guys that I met through USA Baseball and the coach throughout the country and. You know, I just met some outstanding coaches and some outstanding players. Had a great time. USA on your chest is something very unique and prideful. And there's high expectations. So I coached a team this past year. We went to the PDP, which is the Player Development League. We got developed at the IMG Academy. We were down there for, I was there for 2.5 weeks. For 3 weeks, they were down there. The team went from 85 45 players to Los Angeles in August, and then narrowed that 45 down to 20. At the end of the week, took those guys to Taiwan, played in a three or four exhibition games against Chinese Taipei, and had a great experience there in Taiwan. Then we went to South Korea, Busan, South Korea, to play in the World Championships, where we finished, we lost 2-1 in the finals. We finished with a silver medal. And played great, probably played as good as we could play, won some great games along the way, and had an unbelievable experience, and great players, great kids, and three great coaches. I had Gerald Laird, who played 13 years in the big leagues, with the Braves and with the Cardinals and Texas Rangers and so forth, and great catching guy. And then Greg Ritchie, who was the head coach at George Washington, is the head coach at George Washington University, one of the best hitting guys I've ever been around. Spent 10 years in the minor leagues and 2 years in the big leagues as a hitting instructor with the Pirates and so forth. And then Scott Bankhead, who was a first-round pick out of North Carolina and played 10 years in the big leagues with the pitching. And so we had a great staff with great chemistry and still have a great relationship. We were on a Zoom call with these guys the other day and laughed like heck. But it was a great experience for me and one that I'll never forget and one that I cherished for a long period of time. So it was kind of a two-year deal. So we'll see what happens and see what my involvement with USA Baseball has for me from here on out, if anything. And if not, we'll look for the next challenge.
I was going to ask you about that. Coach, I do this, we do it every Friday. We've been very blessed to have a bunch of great ones on. And one of my ploys is I text or email you and say, hey, can you go about 30, 45 minutes? And then it gets so good that I kind of put pressure on you on the air to stay an extra segment. So I figured you can't turn me down if I ask you on the air rather than asking in advance. Can you hang through one more quick break? Because I want to ask about your family. I want to ask about coaching your son, how that was. And also about the future of baseball and college baseball and your thoughts about where the game is headed. Can you hang through a quick break?
Absolutely. No problem.
Thank you, Coach. Jack Leggett joins us. We'll come back. We'll talk about all those things in the final segment of the week right after this.
I'm Katie, a client at the Health Dare. Their coaching team helped reverse my diabetes in just a few weeks. I was so excited. I watched clients reverse the symptoms of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, sleep apnea, and lose crazy amounts of belly fat. They will clean out your pantry, grocery shop, and even cook and teach you everything they know so you can't fail. If you want to change your life, call 877-IDARE-ME or go to idareme.com. Tell them Katie sent you and get a second program free. Go to idareme.com. I dare you.
Hey guys, summer is here, the gyms are open, the beach is open, and the world is getting back to normal again. It's time to get off that couch and get moving again. If you've got no energy, no drive, and have gained a few pant sizes in the last few months, come see us today at Low Country Male. For just $200 a month, we take care of all your testosterone, labs, physicals, unlimited doctor visits, and your prescription management needs. It's time to get back to work and get back to making men and America great again. Come see us today in Greenville off Pelham Road, lowcountrymale.com.
Edwards Auto Sales of Walhalla is urging everyone to stay safe during these trying times. We are open with your safety in mind. Take advantage of 0% for 84 months on all remaining 2019 models and 0% for up to 75 months on 2020 models. Now is a great time to take advantage of 0% for extended terms, big rebates, and stimulus incentives. New, pre-owned, parts, service, or body shop, we have you covered. Online at edwardsautosales.net or visit us in Walhalla. Always save extra with no dealer or dock fee.
Flattening the curve has quickly become a new buzz phrase in our daily lives. At JanPro of the Western Carolinas, their goal is to help your business stay ahead of the curve by ensuring a safe and clean environment for your customers and your employees. JanPro of the Western Carolinas performs a thorough evaluation of your business and then goes to work with infection prevention in the following manner. Using EnviroShield, an electrostatic disinfectant spray, performing deep cleans at your business, using hospital-grade disinfectants, utilizing cross-contamination prevention, cleaning with flat mops, and installing HEPA filter vacuums, which trap nearly 100% of particles. Infection prevention is what JanPro of the Western Carolinas is in business to do for your business. Call 864-458-3053. Be prepared, gain knowledge, and move forward with JanPro of the Western Carolinas, 864-458-3053.
Let's face it, credit cards are pretty much a necessity.
New tires for the car? Here's my card.
I order takeout, use my card.
And most of us just accept the high interest rates credit cards charge as a necessary evil.
What are you going to do?
Here's what you can do. Get a low fixed rate credit card consolidation loan from LightStream and pay off those credit card balances. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. The process is all online. You never have to leave the house. And you could get your money as soon as the day you apply. The average credit card company charges over 19% APR. But with LightStream, you can get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay.
Now I can pay off my high-interest credit cards and save money with a much lower rate. Thanks, Lightstream.
Apply today at lightstream.com/discount and get an additional interest rate discount. That's lightstream.com/discount for an additional discount. lightstream.com/discount.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/discount for more information.
More live local sports than cars on Woodruff Road. You're listening to The Roar.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place.
Final segment. Appreciate Coach Jack Leggett, Hall of Famer now at Clemson, going in this fall, hanging on through the break. Coach, you talked about you and your dad and talked about, you know, growing up in a coaching family, an athletic family. I know family's important to you, thinking of seeing your wife at the games and seeing your daughter at the games. But I want to ask you about coaching your son, because you had the unique opportunity to do that. And I know it maybe even strengthened your relationship. But how is it, and what advice you maybe give some of our fathers listening out there about coaching your own son?
Well, it was one of the highlights of my 40 years of coaching, to be able to coach your own son. And we had some good players at the time, Taylor Harbin, Stan Widman. We had some good players around him. And so the experience of him being able to be on the team, listen and hear my voice in a different venue than at home, and see him out of the corner of my eye, listening and paying attention, was something I always never took for granted. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed hitting ground balls every day, and he'd come by me and slap me on the rear end on the way by and ask me how he looked. And I'd say, feet are moving good, hands looking good, you know. And so we always had a good relationship that way. And I enjoyed watching him when he got out. And every time I put him out on the field, in the situations he performed, which was exciting to see. And one of my favorite moments of all time was when he hit a home run against Virginia Tech at home that night and came around third base, and we just had a little moment on the way by. And it's something that he and I talk about. We still feel that special moment. And he had some adversity along the way. We had two or three shoulder operations, so I don't think he ever really got fully healthy and became the player that he wanted to be or could be. But he had his role and was a good teammate and played hard and did what he was supposed to do every time he had a chance. So it was a great opportunity for him and a great opportunity for me to spend some more time together. Because in coaching, you your own kids sometimes, I won't say get neglected, but you don't spend as much time as you want. You don't see them do some of the things that you want to be able to see them do, whether it be their own athletics in high school or whatever, because you're busy doing what you're doing. So I missed out on some things, but I was able to gather some things back by him playing for us.
Special watching it, no doubt about that. I want to ask you about baseball, the sport itself now, some of the issues that are facing it and moving forward. And you've got a unique set of eyes. A lot of people, get on the inequities of college baseball, the idea that Tim Corbin at Vanderbilt has it built-in advantages. You maybe saw the game changing. You know, some of your guys are benefiting from it. Maybe some of your guys aren't benefiting from it. And maybe one thing I ask you is, did you see the sport, the scholarship part of it, the maybe the inequities part of it? Did you see it change during your coaching career? And is there anything we can do about it now? Is it a matter of fact that there were the people who don't have the advantages complain about it, but the people who have it, love it? What are your thoughts about the, how it's just not equal across the board in college baseball right now?
Well, it's a unique situation. Baseball's a unique situation. It always bothered me to think that I was playing other teams that had more scholarship or had academic common market or had the neighboring states thing or a big, huge lottery, to draw from. But at the same time, that's the way it was during my whole coaching career. Is Clemson had very little financial aid. We didn't have any neighboring state, we had a life scholarship that helped a little bit for in-state kids. But everybody's got something like that. We didn't have the academic common market the very last year, but weren't able to really take advantage of that until it was gone. But I think it's one of those things that it's a little bit frustrating, because if you told football coaches that, hey, we, you guys have 85, but, oh, yeah, South Carolina's going to have 110. Do you, are you guys okay with that? Or Duke's going to have 110. You okay with that? You'd have a riot in the streets of downtown Clemson because everybody wants to be on the equal playing field, scholarship-wise. But so it's one of those things where I think, you know, nobody really understands it all. I know the ins and outs of that whole thing. We've been dealing with it for a long period of time. You just have to overcome it. You have to recruit harder. You have to find the right kids, and you have to battle and teach them the right way and forge on. And, you know, I'm just especially proud that we were able to do that when, you know, sometimes down the street when we had Academic Common Market and had more scholarships than you did out on the field and more money out on the field. Nobody cared, but I'm very proud of the way that, you know, the fact that we were able to get to Omaha six times and get to nine super regionals and make it to the regional tournaments and so forth and have our players be successful. I think we were able to choose the right kids. We worked hard at recruiting. We were able to get a really good mix of South Carolina kids and kids from out of state. And we had great, you know, chemistry with it. And I think it worked out as well as it can, but you got to work hard at it. And you can still get the super regional, still get to Omaha, the facilities at Clemson, the, you know, the advantages, the tradition that's been created there is a huge advantage in when you're out there recruiting. So it can be done. You just have to work really hard at it and get the right thing going. But it was a source of frustration, I think, for a lot of people because it is not equal, you know, across the board. Everybody says you got 11.7, but it's really not always the case that way because there are things that you can do to increase that and improve it at a lot of the schools. So I'd say that's a bit of a problem, but there's never been a time where the facilities are better, and now they're improving and increasing the coaching staffs. You get a technical guy, you get a player development guy, you got things that we never had that can enhance the, you know, the support around you. So I think there's a lot of things that are better now in college baseball than maybe they were, and that make things a little bit more workable. But at the same time, I think the bottom line is you got to get out there and you got to grind it and you got to find the right kids and you got to work hard and mold your team right, and they got to play with the right intensity every single day. And if they do, then you can kind of overshadow some of the other things that are out there. But I think the state of the game is still good. A very difficult time right now, and I'm really, really, really disappointed to see Furman dropping baseball and see Bowling Green starting to see that thing happening, especially in this state, Mickey. I mean, you know, this is a state that's really rich in its history of baseball and college baseball, and to see Furman drop baseball, really disappointing because they have four really good young coaches. They've got the program has always been one that I enjoyed playing against. And we've always had a great mix of academics and athletics, and I think it's really disappointing that they took that avenue. You know, when these kids learn so much on the baseball field, they learn so much outside the classroom on the athletic field, and it's part of the fiber of the university, you know, obviously at Clemson and every school. And so I hate to see it happen, and so I'm hoping that's not something that continues to go, and maybe they'll learn the errors of their way and bring it back sometime because it's part of what the Furman's been about for 125 years. So I hate to see that happen.
Heartbreaking, no doubt about that. All right, one of my other big soapboxes now is this showcase and travel ball, and I get guys going, man, this is my at-bat. I'm going to pull the ball even though I don't hit behind the runner. I throw the wrong base because I want to show off my arm. And, you know, we're playing fall and summer and spring. We're playing baseball all the time, which is not a terrible thing by some reasons, but, Coach, should I be right to drive me crazy that what's happening maybe with showcase and travel ball compared to maybe how you and I grew up playing 3-4 sports? Is that a big issue in your mind still?
I think kids should play, especially when they're young, play as many sports as they possibly can. Play soccer, football, basketball, baseball, get out, play wiffle ball, play, you know, sandlot baseball, sandlot basketball, one-on-one basketball, play touch tackle football, have your teams, you know, already chosen before you get off the bus and so forth. That's the way I grew up, and that's what I would recommend for everybody, is to play as many sports as you possibly can and stay active. If you start narrowing in on one sport, you're just setting yourself up for being a one sport, maybe less of an athlete. If you ask every player that plays on a major college football team, I guarantee that most of them play two or three sports in high school. Every Major League Baseball locker room, if you ask the 25 players or 30 players in there, whatever's in there, what they did all the way up, I bet you none of them would say they just were a baseball player when they were young. They played other sports. They honed their athletic skills and competitive skills through other sports. And so play them all. Stay busy. But at the same time, don't, specialize too early. And there may be a time down the road as you're going maybe into college where all of a sudden, okay, now you're specializing in the sport. But up until that time, it's my opinion that the best athletes and the best players that I've ever had, they played other sports. They were multi-sport athletes, and they were talented in other things. So they were good basketball players, a good football player, a good soccer player, whatever it was. They were good at other sports as well, and therefore had some savvy when they got out on the field about competing and how to improvise and so forth. So my feeling has gone over a little bit overboard with all this travel ball and year-round sports. When they're young, you're putting too much pressure on their arms and shoulders, and they can get burnt out. So I'm all about playing other sports, to be honest with you.
Coach, I got to tell you, I was at football practice back in the spring. It was early last fall. And I'm 52 years old, and I have a 15-month-old son, my very first son, right? So Dabo asked about him, and he comes over, and I said, man, I'm 50. This is crazy. And he goes, if you didn't know your birthday, how old would you be? And I think I thought about it and said, maybe 35. He said, I think about 25 or whatever. You're a young man still with a lot of energy. What's the future for Jack Leggett Hole? What's looking at crystal ball? Well, I know you still want to be involved in the game. You still got a lot to give to the game.
Well, I do feel young. I felt young when I stopped coaching the clubs, and the juices were flowing. We had a lot of good things going. We had a lot of good things on the horizon. It was really good on the horizon. But I miss it. I miss being around it. The USA Baseball has fueled my fire again. I love talking to coaches. I love talking to players. I love talking to teams. I get asked to talk to teams. I get asked to talk to coaches. Sunday night, I'm on a Zoom call with a coaching staff up in New York, and I've been asked to do a lot of this. I was on a Zoom call with an 11U team the other day from Chicago, who are coached by one of my former players, Mike Eidenberg. So I'm on a Zoom call with 11 under kids up in the Chicago area that are playing, and so I just love being around people. I love coaching coaches. I love talking about my experiences or things that I can help them become better as coaches and help the team become better. And I love talking to players, and I love being around them and teaching them, and I love the fundamentals of this game. So it's been a little frustrating because I really felt my best years were ahead of me back in 2015, and I do feel young. If Dabo asked me the same question, I'd tell him 35 is how I feel. And I feel good, and I'm still excited about it. I'm still excited about the game. I'm still excited about trying to help people become better at their craft. So I don't know. Well, I'm in the process of writing a book. I've got a guy who I work with that I'm doing some videos and coaching videos and so forth and baseball videos. So hopefully that'll all turn out to be something to be satisfying for me. But I miss having a team. I miss being the leader. I miss being the guy that's talking to the team and teaching them the lessons they need to learn through baseball and outside of baseball and so forth. So I really do miss that part of it. And I had some opportunities when I got done coaching at Clemson to go places and coach at good schools and with good resources and there was some good support. But I just, I'd always thought of myself as a Clemson baseball coach. It was hard for me at that point, and the timing was hard for me at that point to try to do something different. And I still, had Clemson on my mind and had that feeling on my mind. So it was difficult to move someplace else to do it. moved up to Greenville now and got 12 acres, and I've got access to Greenville, which I really like, and I've got some good friends up here and family and so forth. It's something that's on my mind every day. I think about coaching, and I think about sharing what I have to offer. So in some way, I'm trying to figure out how to do that.
Well, we know one thing. You got to figure out another Hall of Fame speech, a seventh Hall of Fame speech for you coming up this October here in Clemson. Can't wait. Coach, I can't thank you enough for spending an hour with us, sharing so many great memories of it. And I know a lot of people are looking forward to seeing you at halftime at Death Valley and saluting you in that Hall of Fame class once again. Thank you. Congratulations. And maybe look forward to catching up with you sometime here soon.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Mickey. Thanks for the time. And I appreciate all the people out there that support us along the way, and I miss them all. So it's a great honor, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, can't wait to see you in Death Valley. Coach, have a great weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and look forward to seeing you guys soon.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
That is Jack Leggett going to the Clemson Athletic Hall of Fame this October. Hey, end of the show. Let me thank Brad Hughes. We'll do all of our Brad Hughes stuff next week and get in touch with him. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com, BradHughesInsurance.com, 292-3001. And thank Eric Newton. Told you I had lunch. I've talked to both those guys this week. They're doing great. EricNewton.com. He'd certainly like to take care of you with any real estate you need here in Clemson. EricNewton.com. Hey, John, quickly, two-minute drill for me as we have about 15 seconds here.
Replay of the 2018 National Championship tomorrow at 10 a.m. here on The Roar, and a programming update. No press box today. We will resume local broadcasting at noon without a bounce.
All right, that sounds great. Let me thank callers, sponsors, listeners, texters, tweeters, and emailers. John Hite, terrific job. Let me thank Josh Williams, Tyler Viss, and Jack Leggett. Friends, we're off on Monday for Memorial Day. Have a great weekend. Have a great Memorial Day. But most importantly, tune in on Tuesday.